This is February 1980, February 20th, and I'm Hannah Lambert, and I am going to interview Mrs. Ellen Knight, whose husband was connected with the railroad. Where were you born, Mrs. Knight?
In Washita County.
So you've lived here?
I've lived here all my life.
And will you tell us a little bit about your husband and his work? Because I know he was connected with the railroad.
Mm-hmm. My husband was a machinist at the Chicago Northwestern Roundhouse. And he used to go to work at 3 in the afternoon, worked 11 at night most of the time. He liked those hours because then he could sleep in the morning.
And I suppose then that he was always at the shop or rather around to help if they needed any repairs or anything like that?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Did he find that that was a confining job, that he had lots of work to do, or was he always helping get the machines in order?
Well, he loved that work. He never went to school to learn anything about it. It just came natural to him.
His day started, you said, at what time now?
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked till 11 at night.
Okay, can you tell us something about the depots and if it's the same as it is now, or you just go right ahead?
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I don't remember what year this new depot was built, but the Chicago Northwestern and the Minneapolis and St. Louis, they had a depot together right next to the crossing where the rails cross. And it got to be too old and too small a building, so each railroad built a new depot.
Mm-hmm. Was your husband worked for the Chicago Northwestern Road?
Mm-hmm.
Now, was the Minneapolis and St. Louis road here at the same time?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which was older, or where did they both come about the same time?
Well, that I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Has the, I suppose they still have people that are machinists, and that is like your husband did?
Not here anymore.
Oh, they don't?
Just at Winona and Tracy.
Oh, mm-hmm.
See, they moved the roundhouse away from Waseca.
Uh-huh. Tell about the roundhouse and what its work was.
Well, the engineers would bring the engines in, and he would see if there's anything wrong with them and fix it.
Mm-hmm. I remember one time, Vi Panzerim and I, who taught in North Mankato, used to take the train back on Sundays because the weather was so bad. And we would take the train that came at 9:30 in the morning, and this happened to be on a Sunday morning. So we assumed that we had had a bad snowstorm the night before, and we didn't want to drive. And we assumed that it would be coming. And we waited all day, and then they got notice at the depot that the train was in a snowbank at Dodge Center. And that meant that when they would get that out of there, then the train would come.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, they sent a snowplow down to help it. And then finally, about midnight, we thought we were going to go. We stayed all this while up at the depot, and I would call my dad and say, well, we aren't gone yet. And he said, well, stay there, because don't be coming home. It'll come sometime. And we went over to Gilday's, and we had our dinner over there. We went over there for lunch in the afternoon. We went over there for the supper hour, and I'd call him after each one of these, and he'd say, well, stay there. Don't be thinking about coming home. So finally, at about midnight, it sounded like it was coming, and everybody was getting ready to go out. Well, then there was another delay because they had to take the snowplow to the roundhouse and turn it around, they said, in order to go ahead of the train.
Mm-hmm.
To Mankato.
Yeah.
So we sat on the train from midnight until 3 o'clock in the morning, And finally, we got to Mankato at 6, and we had to go to school that day, and we had to teach. And so it was a long day because I had a night class and didn't have any chance to sleep until 11 o'clock that night.
Oh.
So really, the railroads, we appreciated the railroads because in those days, we didn't have the kind of roads that you could travel. There wasn't any cleaning of roads at that time. So they have been important to me because when I was going to Mankato to college in 1926, that was the way I traveled. I'd come home on the train that was the 5:15 at night, would get to Janesville at 5:15, and then I would take the 9:30 train on Sunday morning and go back. Mm-hmm. And other people were more fortunate, they could drive, but we didn't have a car at that time. Now tell us a little bit about your children, how they fit into this pattern. Were any of them interested in the railroad work?
Gervis, that was Al's son. I was his second wife, and his mother's name was Jessie Mitchell, and her father was an engineer, and her brother was a brakeman, and then he got to be a conductor.
Mm-hmm. So and, that was that the only one in your family then?
That's the only one in my family that.
Mm-hmm. I was interested in how many passenger trains that they had at that time. How many directions did they go? Just east and west, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But was there two a day or more?
Oh, there was more. There's a morning one. There's one about 11, I think, and one around 2. And then another one around 6.
Oh, wasn't that good?
It seems to me 11 at night there was another one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there, let's see now, you mentioned about, when I talked to you before, that maybe you could tell us a little bit about the recipe that the people that lived in the caboose used.
The conductors and the brakemen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, they used to cook in their caboose, and they made they call it a railroad sandwich. I don't know what they cooked it out, unless it was one of those round-bellied stoves. And they'd use 2 slices of bread for each one, and put dill pickles sliced thin on top. And then they'd use a frying pan, and they'd fry some onions in it. And then they'd put an egg on for each sandwich. And then on top of that, they'd put a piece of minced ham. When the bottom was done, they'd turn and flop the thing over. And when that was done, they'd lay it on top of the pickles. And they buttered the bread, you know, of course, and then they'd put the other slice on top. My children used to like them.
Well, it sounds like a good one anyhow. Now, they didn't have any meat then, right?
Well, they had the minced ham.
Oh, the minced ham, but it was cold. It wasn't
No, it was laid on top of the egg, you know.
Oh, I see. They cooked it or warmed it up on
that. Yeah, they turned the whole thing over. See, then the meat was on the bottom, see, and it got cooked through. And that cooked the yolk on the egg, too.
Well,
so it would drip.
Those people really, I suppose when they were on duty, if their run was a long one, they had to live in the caboose then.
Mm-hmm. They slept there and everything.
Uh-huh.
They made coffee.
Mm-hmm. Not long ago, they had a high school bowl, and one of the questions that was asked was, what is a caboose? And no one knew. And, of course, that was the thing that we all knew, because when we'd have to wait for the train, you know, when we'd be in horse and buggy days, my dad would say, well, that's the caboose. That means that that's where they live, and that's at the end. So I even look for it now when I'm waiting for the train to cross. I think, well, when you see the caboose coming, that's it.
Well, if they ended up their run in Winona, they had a certain hotel there where the railroaders stayed, and I think they had the same thing at Tracy.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you know of any other people now that... whose husbands were connected with the railroad that are still living? I'm thinking of Mrs. John McClune. She was she married a railroad man? Didn't she the second?
I don't
her
know
second her second marriage. Yeah, Minnie McClune.
George Mitchell would know.
Uh huh.
You know,
I've talked to George, and he said that he has some pictures, too, that he can give us. Now, you think that you're going to have something that we can do then, and something we can have for an exhibit when we have the
I'll have some pictures.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Mm-hmm. I just happened to think I've got a little postcard picture of my father when the depot was up there in the corner, but I don't remember how much of the depot shows, but you can have that, too.
Good. That'd be good. Mm-hmm. And any other pictures or any... Now, Lowell's father had passes, and I mean, he has sent those to us so that we can use those, and he has a log, you know, of what time they had to be at a certain place and everything. And I remember when I taught Phelps' school out here, it isn't here anymore, but we lived in the country then, and my sister Helen went to Sacred Heart. So I would take her with me, and then Irene Conway worked at Johnson's, and I went right by her place, so she used to ride with us too. And every morning when we'd be going, this freight was coming at the same time, and we got so that we waved at each other, and nobody knew anything at all, you know, except that they were going at the same time. They were coming towards Wellsick, and so were we. And of course, that was so much smoke, you know. They had lots of course, they burned coal. And some of the Keeley boys at Janesville, I taught them too. And they used to say, I never know whether it's you or they. See, I always started the fire out here at, you know, at Phelps' school too, and we burned coal. He said, we never know if it's you or the train that we see the smoke coming from. So... now, is there anything else, Mrs. Knight, that you might think of that we could...
Well, I could tell you how they used to put the tires on the engines,
yes.
My husband told me. They, see, the wheels are made of two pieces of iron, I guess. It goes round, you know.
Right.
And the top part would sometimes fall off, and they would have to put that back on. So one part they had to put in a fire, and the other one in cold water. See, to shrink one and make the other one larger. And then they could put it together and put it back on the engine.
Oh.
My husband was foreman for the, a record foreman is what he was called.
Mm-hmm.
So he went out any time of the night or day whenever something like that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the trains were off the rails.
Mm-hmm. How do they get them back? That's what I often wonder, if they get off the track. I suppose they have to have some big machines.
I never asked him how they got them back on.
Because you read about trains derailing even now, and you know, and here they are on their sides in the ditch or someplace. I think that would be something that maybe somebody else can clue us in on.
Maybe George would know.
Yes, I think so. Well, this has been very worthwhile, Mrs. Knight. I just think that maybe we might... check, and we'll see if we can't have another. Maybe you'll be some more things that you might remember, and I can always come again. So this is our first trial, so we'll try it this way and see. And thank you very much for your time.